Welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention. We will have two speakers. Each speaker will talk on the recovery tool of sponsorship topic for the 15 minutes. Then a Q&A session will follow for 20 minutes. Our first speaker is Ellen.
Hello, everybody. I am Ellen. I am a compulsive overeater. My little qualifications are that I have entered this program, these rooms, 45 years ago at the tender age of 26. To save you the math, I'm 71 now. And I did have a number of relapses in that time. I never really used all the tools, or worked all the steps in that time. I have to admit that I lost and gained, because I used the program. So my way of doing it was kind of like a diet with a support group behind me. And it was not the most effective way of recovery. I did have outside help, and I did have another 12-step program that was less complicated than food for my very, very early age addiction. But I did eventually get the physical leg of the stool and lost over 165 pounds, which I have been maintaining that weight loss for a number of years. And I also have experienced in more recent years, the past decade, a significant amount of mental, emotional recovery, and even more recently, pretty fine amount of spiritual recovery. I owe my life to this program, specifically sponsorship, on both ends. I am a sponsor. I have a sponsor. I have so many sponsees. I have many sponsors, sponsees, babies, we used to call them in the old days. You know, it's interesting. The word sponsor is not in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, at least in the first, 168 pages or whatever it is, the beginning part. Nowhere did they say in that 160 pages that newcomers or any other members of Alcoholics Anonymous or, in our translation, whatever, to get a sponsor. However, the 12th step says we must carry this message to others. Same idea. In essence, it is to become a sponsor. That is how the alcoholics kept their sobriety. If they're at all shaky, they're told, go find another drunk. Well, I find a lot of drunks or chunks or whatever we call each other. I love sponsorship. I love being a sponsor. I have to say, I'm very fortunate to be retired, and I have the luxury of being able to spend a lot of time being a sponsor. And it is the high point of my life, sponsorship, because when I am talking to somebody who is a newcomer or any type of compulsive eater at any stage in their lives, I am reliving my own stages of life. I am remembering, I may look in the mirror and see a thin person. Other people don't look at me and think I'm normal. I ain't normal, never will be. And when I'm sponsoring, I know that because I'm hearing my story every time I talk to somebody, every meeting I go to, I hear my story, no matter what mouth it's coming out of, no matter what demographics we share, it's the same story. And that's one of the wonderful things that being a sponsor gives me, my own relationship with my sponsor. And I've been through a few that have all passed away. I have a wonderful sponsor now who has really helped me a lot in my spiritual leg of the program. This is a person to whom I, as close as any family member to me, that when I have something to talk about or something that happens to me, the first thing that I think about is I've got to tell my sponsor. I have a problem in a situation, nothing to do with the just with my life. The first thing is I got to call my sponsor. And that is what I hope my sponsees think of me. Now, I've had in many ways, many ways of sponsoring that I've done. There are many ways. There are so many different ways of sponsoring. And I have done those and I continue to do in different ways based on the person and what I perceive as their needs or my own philosophy might have changed. You know, I started out with a very structured way of sponsoring because that was how I was sponsored. And that is how I am as a sponsor for people who perhaps need it, who tell me they want accountability, they want frequent contact. Maybe they start out wanting frequent contact. You know, it's all an organic thing based on people's needs and people's schedules and people's desires. And that's something that can change on a day-to-day or year-to-year basis. Just like my styles have changed over the years, my wardrobe changes, everything changes, but we adapt. Being a sponsor, having sponsees, it's a two-way thing. Now, there are a lot of good resources on OA.org on how to be a sponsor, what to do in certain situations. If you go to OA.org, I think you just type OA.org/sponsorship. You get right to a whole lot of resources. Go to our website in San Diego, where I live, OASanDiego.org, unpaid political announcement. We have a whole sponsor area. And for the person without a sponsor or perhaps wanting to think about being a sponsor, there's a whole new program on OA.org they created called the Temporary Sponsor, which helps take people through the first three steps in a few weeks. It's also a great way to start sponsoring. All of that is available for you. We have many ways of finding a sponsor, such as, well, there are sponsor match type WhatsApp groups and some meetings have sponsor lists and some intergroups have that. There are all kinds of resources out there. Start asking around, listen in your meetings. Meetings have, well, all the sponsors raise their hand or sponsors, people with the available room, put your phone number in the chat. Listen to that. And even if they don't do that and you're looking for a sponsor or you just want to think about it, write down phone numbers, ask people, are you a sponsor? How do you sponsor? Just spread the word. You'll find out that this is a really important part of our program. People who sponsor, I can't talk about people. For myself, I sponsor because I am selfish. I sponsor for myself. We say never forget in my ethnicity. Never forget. I sponsor so that I never forget who I am. This is the solution for me. A key part of the solution is sponsorship. Being a sponsor, having a sponsor. All my tools are connected. The other tools are connected to my sponsorship. I sponsor nowadays on Zoom a lot, on the phone, but even on Zoom. I have a private room that I meet with my sponsors one-on-one on Zoom because I have found all kinds of people throughout the world who are now looking for sponsors virtually. You know, it used to be in my meetings before the internet, before Zoom, we would fight over, some of us would fight over newcomers when they came, who got to be that person's sponsor. It's now turned quite the opposite. From my experience, it looks like we need a lot more sponsors, and I encourage everybody I run into, and I especially the people I sponsor, to learn the joy and experience the joy of being a sponsor, the recovery that comes from being a sponsor. It's the most rewarding part of my life. It really is. There are certainly times when I have to mitigate my hours spent, my time spent being a sponsor and in program with other parts of my life. I don't want to say that I'm falling off of that three-legged stool. I have 1 weekend a year devoted to my kids who live all around the country who say, Mom, this weekend we're all going to get together and please don't get on OA. Please don't get on the phone. Please don't answer those texts. So my sponsees, my babies all understand that last weekend in March, and I know some of you are there listening to me right now, I'm not available. I mean, if you have an emergency, well, like my husband would say, it's an emergency, you call 911. Well, I hope you won't have an emergency. There are a lot of people who can help, but that's the one exception to my life where I have to put my family first. I'll tell you, though, you are my family. You, my sponsees and my sponsor, you're my family. You're the ones that I'm there for, and you're there for me, and I know that. I had a death in the family, a niece. It was a very emotional, it's been a very emotional week in my family because she died, a very wonderful person died at a very young age. and my sponsors, my sponsee and my sponsees and my sponsor are holding me up through it, as our family members, we hold each other up through it. This is the most precious of relationships you can imagine. And, oh, watching somebody recover, there is nothing. Well, yeah, there is something. There is something better than that, and that is the way it's written in the big book. Interpreters, I'm going to read from that page that I told you I was going to read from. The start of chapter 7 in the big book talks about, is called Working with Others, and these two paragraphs say it way better than I could say it about sponsorship. Although, as I said, you won't see that S word anywhere in these first, these chapters, but here it is. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. I'm not changing the words, but you can do this in your head. Nothing ensures immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up around you, about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Those people in the rooms who ask me to guide them and share my experience, strength, and hope, I owe a debt of gratitude. I owe you my life. You give me a life worth living. That's what we give each other in this program. Now there's a solution, a life worth living. I didn't always feel that way. It took me a lot of decades to get to this point. I can say now that my life is worth living. It sure wasn't 45 years ago. I was trying every imaginable way to end it because I did not see the point. But now I know the point is to be of service to others, to help them with what, give away what I have so gratefully gotten, paying it forward, giving it away so I can keep it. That's what sponsorship is to me. I hope you'll find that same joy that you already have and that you will continue to by using this wonderful tool of sponsorship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Ellen. Our second speaker is Marie.
Hi, I'm Marie S. I'm a compulsive overeater, a recovering bulimic, a restrictor, and a 200-pounder, and a sponsor, and a sponsee. And in my qualifications, very simply, I weighed somewhere between 360 to 400 pounds. I really don't know exactly. And I was bedridden and in a wheelchair and woke up one day and realized that I was in my deathbed, that was the rest of my life. So OA literally saved my life. But that's, the topic isn't me. It's about sponsorship. So first I want to talk to the newcomer. I like to talk to newcomers because I remember so much what it was like. And I was desperate to find a sponsor. I thought I had to find a sponsor that first day. And I didn't. And it was almost in a panic that I seeked a sponsor, someone who would sponsor me. Now I'll tell you, my number one fear is being rejected or abandoned, and abandoned. And I felt like I was putting my life into someone's hands. My first sponsor, I've never met. I've never seen her online even. I've talked to her on the phone. I contacted my local intergroup and asked, is there anyone that would be willing to sponsor me? And someone was. We talked on the phone every day and went through the big book together and the steps. Funny thing is, if I had picked a sponsor on my own, I probably wouldn't have picked her, because she reminded me so much of my mother, and I hadn't dealt with issues that I had with my mother. So it was a very interesting relationship. And at the end of our time, at the end of the 12 steps, as we had agreed, I would go on to find another sponsor. So I'm not going to tell you that I'm giving you advice. I'm not telling you what to do. I have suggestions. Take them, leave them, that's up to you. First is that you be completely and totally honest, not just with your sponsor, but with yourself. When first asked this question, I said anything. The question is, what are you willing to do? I thought I was willing to do anything. Well, as I've done most of my life, I lied to myself, and I lied to my sponsor, therefore, because I really wasn't willing to do anything. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't a big lie. It was, I needed some time with my family. That was all. Sponsors are a gift to the sponsees. Sponsees are a gift to the sponsors. It is an equal relationship. Both benefit greatly. Sometimes you may hear things like, oh, I was fired by my sponsor, or I'm firing my sponsee. Well, there's no hiring or firing. We're all servants, just trying to help each other. A sponsor, in my opinion, is someone who has gone down the path before. They know where the traps are, where that you can trip and fall, and they're shining a light to help you. And they're a hand to help you. But they don't have all the answers. So keep that in mind. Don't put them on the pedestal. Higher power. Sponsors are not your higher power. So let me talk about first-time sponsees, first-time sponsors, and some suggestions I have for you. Trust your higher power. Seek guidance from your higher power. Share yourself and your experience, strength, and hope. And also, think about how you want to be with your sponsee. I know that I have a codependency addiction as well from my earliest age. Well, I do not want to be codependent, so I have to be very careful. Sponsors are not responsible for the abstinence of their sponsees. Sponsors are not responsible for their sponsees doing the work or not doing the work. Suggestions to you. work the steps right alongside with your sponsee. I often will share my answer to some of the questions that we do. Don't have to. There are as many different types of sponsors as there are sponsees. And yet, it seems that it works out that they can match. But let's say you don't match. Let's say you've got a sponsor that won't listen to you, or you've got a sponsee that just frustrates you and you don't know what to do with them and you're pulling your hair out. When I have a sponsee, I really and truly want what's best for them. And sometimes that's not me. I do feel that I have the responsibility to put their interests before mine when it comes to the time that we have together. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I'll get back to you and see if you can find the answer. That's the, you know, little questions. To the big questions, the what do I do? What do I say? Do I quit this job? Those questions, I turn them around. When someone calls me and asks me if I will sponsor them, I first have to evaluate myself. Do I have time for another sponsee? Because if I don't have the time, I'm robbing my existing sponsees of some of their time. And I'm not being fair to anybody, to them or to me. I ask my sponsee, or the potential sponsee, after we have the conversation, that I would like them to then take a couple days to think about, am I the right person for them? I'm a more warm, motherly, gentle sponsor. But some people need a more military. I have a friend whose sponsor says, if you don't call me 6 o'clock sharp and call me at 6:01, I'm not answering the phone. And that works for her. So what do you want in a sponsor? Think about it. Think about the relationship. You don't have to rush to find someone. But in OA, you'll hear a lot about higher power and trusting your higher power. And I believe that it will happen. And I wait when I need a sponsor. I wait until I get a feeling, a prompt that tells me, ask this person. And until I get that, I don't ask. So when I meet someone who wants me to sponsor them, or if I'm looking for a sponsor, I talk to them. I ask how they do things and what they would expect, both from both sides. What do they expect? I suggest that every sponsee, anybody I talk to, make outreach calls, make a list of wise men, wise women, and ask them, can I call you again? And you'll develop relationships so that if you don't have a sponsor at that time, if something happens, you have other people that you can talk to, that you've got relationships with, that can guide you. So I just want to let you know that it works itself out. It really does. Don't be afraid. Ask the person that you want to ask. Go ahead. But if they say no, don't please think that they're rejecting you. It may be that, like, if it were me, I would be setting a healthy boundary, and it's not easy to do. But it's a lot better for you if you asked me to sponsor you, if I told you I can't right now, than if I said yes and lied to you about having the time. So I just want you to know that the right person will come along. And if you get connected with someone that isn't quite right, either it's because you have something to learn from them, and I'm talking to either sponsor or a sponsee, or it's because you need to learn to say, it's time to look for someone else. Thank you for your time, and I hope that something I said helped you.
We will now open the floor for a question and answer session. When do you know you're ready to sponsor?
Yeah, I hear that a lot, and I have those discussions with my sponsees because I believe it's very important. It's one of the steps. It's step 12. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be giving service all throughout from the beginning, because service is yet another important part of recovery. But I definitely feel, and I, you know, to the people that are newcomers, and I'm taking them through the steps in a structured way. I do have many long-term people who are my sponsor, and we, you know, are working steps 10, 11, 12, and living the steps. But I do feel that by the ninth step, the completion of the ninth step, that it is, and this is kind of because I'm old school too, that it's time to start sponsoring. And we do introduce and to step up and do more service. And I am a grand sponsor at that point. I'm actually a great grand sponsor also. When you get old enough, you get that way. But it doesn't have anything to do with age. And I think it's very important to help a sponsee if they're not feeling ready, to help them, give them the tools. That's what's one of the beauties of this whole temporary sponsorship that they've invented. You know, lots of ways to sponsor, as Marie said. You know, there's also nowadays we have people call themselves food sponsoring and step sponsoring and all that. So I'm old school, so I don't really separate it out. But I think that at some point in the program, around as working the steps toward the end of getting to nine or being done with your amends, it is time to really step up and get to experience the joy and the long-term recovery that comes from being a sponsor.
Ellen, I really liked your answer. I also would add that I don't decide when my sponsee is ready. I let my sponsee and their higher power decide. Not just my sponsee. And that's really important. I do also agree that most people I know are not ready after steps 1, 2, and 3. It takes time. And I believe also step 9 is the time to start talking about it, to see how they want to do it. What they want to present. They don't have to present the same way I gave it to them. And I've done the steps a number of different ways, and actually I change it up depending on who I'm sponsoring and what their needs are. So that's why I do the steps so much. It gives me more information.
What's either of your average length of time working with the sponsee?
Oh, well, years and years for some people, and for some people they're in and out in a day. It's that interview stage, and we're not good for each other. There can be no end, you know, till death do us part. It's huge, huge range.
And
I guess the answer is this, I don't have an average. I couldn't come up with an average.
I also can't come up with an average. I still have my first sponsee, and it's been about 3 years. And I have had sponsees come and go, but I've had new sponsees. And even my agreement with how often we meet, when we meet, it's different with each one because everybody has a different life and a different lifestyle and different needs. And I have times. I started off with 7 days a week and set time for each sponsee every day. And what I found is I no longer had a life with my husband. And so I stopped scheduled calls on weekends. Now, if there's an emergency or something comes up, of course they can call me. But my goal is for them not to rely on me, but to rely on others that they develop relationships with and call their peers. And first of all, though, to call their higher power. So I'm sorry I can't give you a direct answer.
Okay. Do you continue working with the sponsee if they relapse?
Absolutely. For sure. As long as I'm getting something out of it, as I said, I'm a selfish sponsor. I'm in this for myself. And if it's healthy for me, that, and I have something that I'm getting at because I'm doing this for myself. I don't mean that in an ego way, but I'm the whole reason I'm doing the sponsorship is for my own recovery. And that is a time when, and I've certainly done it, relapse. That is a time when I wouldn't reject somebody for that reason. On the other hand, I always ask my newcomer, the first question is, in fact, when I have room for new sponsees, I will say, I would love to sponsor a woman. I have only sponsored women ever. No, that's not entirely true. I think that's no longer true. I'm sorry. That's old school me talking. Are you willing to go to any lengths? Because I am serious about this program. It really did save my life. And if I am willing to go to any lengths to save my life, and I am, then I want to give that away. And when, you know, Zoom and the pandemic started and we all started changing channels to see what's the good program that can help me lose my weight, you know, you want a diet. There are a lot of them out there. You want to do this soul searching and this fearless inventory and bare yourself and talk about God and higher power stuff. You got to be pretty desperate. So I do have that kind of life or death approach to taking somebody on and sticking with somebody. And if it's somebody who really, I want a diet. As soon as the diet club, it ain't here for you. But when and if, because it's a progressive disease, you are serious and you are ready to face that this is a life-threatening disease and, you know, you're ready to take the steps that do the things that will save your life, we'll be here. We're not going anywhere. Thanks.
My approach is a little bit different. I tell my sponsees that the only reason that I will end our sponsor-sponsee relationship is if it becomes harmful to them or to me. And I have had a relationship that I've had to end. My very first sponsee had been in OA for 36 years and had never gone past the first step because she has learning disabilities. And she had struggled and struggled to understand what was being said. And I prayed and prayed over this and decided that she would be better off going through the steps, even if she didn't fully understand them, and then keep going through the steps than never getting past step one because someone didn't have patience with her. And I believe 36 years shows a lot of commitment. So, you know, there are some people that say, if you lose your abstinence, get it back, come and show me that you're serious, and start from there. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It's just a different way, a different sponsor, and the program works, and I believe it works in spite of us. So, thank you.
Okay, here's a couple of it together. What do you do with a sponsor who doesn't get it and can't get abstinent? And is that ground for firings if they don't get the physical abstinence?
Well, let me start with that, if I may. I'm not responsible for the sponsee's success or failure. I'm not responsible for their abstinence or if they don't have abstinence. I pray, boy, I want them to be abstinent, but I can't do it for them. And I can't take responsibility for whether they have a job or not. All I can do is be there for them, get them, give them the encouragement. I don't let go of sponsees because of abstinence or no abstinence. But I strongly suggest that they make outreach calls, that they build a program, and that they use the tools. And I do point out to them when they're lying, when I can see they're lying to themselves or to me or whatever. I don't accuse them of lying, of course, but I just kind of say, really? And just suggest that they look at that again. So I can't be responsible for whether they hold a job or not because of their weight. If I did, I would not be safe in my program.
You know, I love that, that Marie and I have slightly different approaches, or vastly different, because that's a perfect example of how sponsorship works. We're also different. We have many different styles, and I'm not the same sponsor to one person as to another. But this abstinence thing, this food thing, is hard. It's complicated. You know that whole thing about you can't put it down completely. And how do you figure out what it is? And we have the different manifestations. It shows in the weight. Some it doesn't. For many people, it's certain foods, and for other people, in addition or instead of. It's behaviors, and it's both or one or the other, and there's all kinds of behaviors, and there are all kinds of food restrictions and things, and I mean, we can't even talk about it without stepping over our own words. You know, I just said restriction, I realize, and you know, that's a kind of a food problem. So it's complicated. When you're first cutting back on a habit, you know, breaking a habit, breaking an addiction, that's hard in the beginning too. It's step one stuff, and that is where we really could use sponsors a lot, because of that daily stuff of putting down the food and getting it out of our systems and getting the hang of it. We have great professional help in this world, nutritionists, dietitians. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know how many carbs or proteins somebody should eat. I am here to help you figure out what your food plan, your abstinence is, and then work the steps and use the tools to help you get real recovery and freedom from the food. And that's about all I can do. And to the extent that you want my help, you stick with me, my guidance. And if not, there's a lot of other people who can do it. I don't have the answer. I'm just one person with my own version of how I found this wonderful life that I found.
Okay, what about the issue of step sponsor versus food sponsors? Some sponsors don't want to hear what you have to talk about. They just want to help you through the steps. And with that, is it ethical to tell people what they can or can't eat?
Well, you know, again, we don't have a rule book that tells us how to be a sponsor. And any more than we have a rule book for anything else in this program. I mean, we have certainly guidelines and traditions and all that, but they don't tell us any of that stuff. We have to come up with our own guidelines. And in terms of food sponsor versus step sponsor and all that, it's kind of, I think I mentioned I'm kind of old. I've been around 45 years, and some of these things are newer ideas. I mean, we didn't have texting to send our food plan to 45 years ago. That was it was this old-fashioned thing that came with a wire when we had to do it. Now there are apps. So I can't really speak to that. To me, it's a package deal. My disease is a package deal. My recovery is a package deal. But like I said, there's professional help, and it whatever works. If it works, don't fix it in the appliance business, right? Go ahead, Marie. Maybe you have some better, newer, younger take.
I love it, but I would, and I hope you would agree with me, but maybe not. I also change, you know, and as I sponsor, I change how I sponsor because I learn from other people around me and from the program and stuff. But I believe that if my sponsee needs more than one sponsor, go for it. It's not a personal thing. It's not my ego. It's not about, woohoo, I have a sponsor. It's about they need to take care of what they need. And I need to take care of what I need. It's as simple as that.
If I can follow up, Larry, I completely agree, Marie. I think whatever works, you know, it's changed over the years. Now I get pictures sent to me of food. You millennials who like to take pictures of your food, that's cool. That's fine. Anything that works. And yes, some people need that. Some people do have an accountability buddy or foods, and that's fine. Whatever works. However I can be of service, that's what I'm all about. Thank you.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. Thank you, speakers. I have a sponsor and have two long-term regular sponsees. Most of my sponsees, however, have been newcomers who work with me for one evening or a few weeks, and then they disappear. Is there something I am doing wrong? Is this typical of the experiences of others?
I'll go ahead. No, of course you're not doing anything wrong. This is a complicated, baffling disease. This is hard stuff. You're not doing anything wrong. It's going to happen. People are not ready. People come and people, we all have done it. There are a few of them who started 50 years ago and never took a bite outside their food plan and called it in every day. I'm not one of those. I have, you know, at the moment, 4.5 years of continuous abstinence, and before that it was 8, and that was my longest stretch ever. It's a tough, tough disease, and people do come and go, and we're going to be here. It's a progressive disease. If they have this disease, it ain't going away. They'll be back. Give them the best you can and be ready. And maybe you don't have what they need, and maybe they don't have what you need, but there's a lot of us out there.
And I echo what Ellen says. I said earlier that people lie to themselves, and they say, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes until you tell them what it takes. Then suddenly, well, I don't have time to work on my program every day. I can't make phone calls. Oh, meetings? 90 meetings in 90 days? Oh, I can't do that. And as I said earlier, I'm not the right sponsor for every person that walks into these doors. I'm not. So it could be I wasn't the right sponsor for them. And that's okay. I don't have to be. So you can spend time beating yourself up thinking that you did something wrong, because, boy, that's how I live my life. Or you can just say, I guess my higher power thinks that match wasn't the right one. And their higher power agreed, and it worked out the way it's supposed to work out. Thank you.
One quick last question that's very interesting, I see. What happens when your sponsee becomes your friend? Is there a conflict of interest in that?
That's a great question. And, you know, there are a lot of complicated situations that can arise. Becoming friends, having all kinds of emotional issues. The beauty of this program is we're not alone, and we have other people to talk to, other people. We have our own sponsors to talk to and talk about individual issues, get advice, get their other take. We have, that's the beauty of having grand sponsors and grand sponsees, is we can talk to each other. And we also have resources from OA. We have the whole structure of the group and the intergroup and the region and the trustees and lots of people with lots more experience than I have who can help us through these sticky issues. We, Marie and I here, are the same and we're different, and we're showing the diversity here of sponsorship styles. And there's lots of resources and lots of people to talk to. And we have each other to help each other with those sponsorship issues. But do it. It's rewarding. The best thing in life. Thanks.
I agree absolutely with Ellen. And I know that I have a lot to learn. I have this favorite thing that I do that really helps me a lot. I draw a circle. And in that circle, I imagine that's all the knowledge in the universe. I take a pencil. And I fill in how much of that I know. I get the sharpest pencil I can find and make the smallest dot. And that exercise has helped me stay out of arguments about whether something is right or wrong between two people that I love. It's helped me realize that there are other ways. My way isn't the only way. And it's helped me be a little more humble. So I think that I'm going to be learning the rest of my life and growing and changing. Now, I said that I had to let go of a sponsee because of codependence. That was a friend. I've had another friend that's a sponsee, and it hasn't been a problem. So my answer is, I think it depends on the two people. Good question, though.
All right. It looks like we're practically to the end of our time now. I'd like to thank everyone who attended this webinar. Thank you to the speakers and all those doing service.